In this episode of the Exploring Information Security Podcast, how to hire qualified application security talent.
Part one.
Welcome to the Exploring Information Security Podcast, where you will learn, explore, and grow your security mindset. I am your host, Timothy D. Block, and in this episode, we will be exploring how to hire qualified application security talent. Joining me today to discuss this is James Jardine of Jardine Software. James, how are you?
I am doing excellent. I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited about it.
Well, this podcast kind of resulted from reading one of your blog posts on JardineSoftware.com. Five mistakes to avoid to hire qualified application security talent. So the first question I have for you is, what prompted you to write this article?
Well, you know, a lot of it is I spend a lot of time looking at different job postings, and you know, you see a lot of people talking about the myth or non-myth of cybersecurity talent shortages, and I've helped organizations trying to find good candidates to fill these positions, and you know, I find a lot of times there's just things that we're looking for that not necessarily not realistic, but you're not ready for everything you're trying to find, so. You know, I wanted to come up with a couple of things that I commonly see that I would say kind of they don't irritate me, but you know, they get me thinking a lot when I look at a lot of the different job postings out there, and I'm like, you know, you got a lot of mixed bag here of skill sets you're looking for that are going to be really difficult to find. You know, if you did this or you modified that, you know, you might actually be able to find somebody that's good, and you know, actually get them sooner than trying to wait out for that candidate that really is that kind of unicorn that you're never going to find.
So what would you consider a qualified professional for application security?
I think it's a hard question to answer because it all depends on what role you're doing in AppSec. You know, and you know, we talked a little bit before we started recording this, but you know, there's so many different things. I mean, I can go into company A and we want to talk about, hey, what do you do for AppSec? You know, and maybe they have one AppSec guy, they have two AppSec guys, and they really, or gals, and they focus on evangelistic type features, right? They're out there working with the developers, you know, they're helping maybe do policies and write some of that stuff. But really a lot of their drive is working with the dev teams and the QA teams and really getting security out there amongst the application teams to get stuff done. And then you go over to company B and you talk to them, and they're super technical application security engineers that are writing scripts and they're writing code. You know, they're automating everything they can. You know, I mean, they're knee deep, right, in working with application security. And they're less really about going out and working with the dev teams per se, but more about, hey, how can I automate how we're scanning for these things? And how can we automate these certain things? And then you've got kind of mix in the middle where you've got people that, you know, really kind of do more vulnerability management. You know, I actually worked a job where a lot of my role was, okay, we use White Hat, we use Veracode. I felt like the guy from Office Space, you know, because the devs talked to me and then I talked to White Hat. And it was like, well, why can't they talk to White Hat? You know, and it really blew my mind. But my whole role shifted, and this was years ago, but my role had shifted, and that's really what I did, right? I mean, my boss would come to me and say, okay, where's the dev team on fixing these Veracode issues? I'm like, I don't know. Let me go find out, you know, and I go find out. And okay, what's going on with these White Hat things? Let me go find out. To be honest with you, I kind of moved on, right? I mean, it was below where I wanted to be. And, you know, that was kind of an issue. But it's a valid role, and you see it in a lot of companies. So to get what is a qualified candidate, we really have to understand what is it we're trying to do. You know, if you're doing something that's super technical that requires a lot of scripting and requires a lot of development knowledge and all that, then obviously you want somebody that's got some scripting, some development knowledge, those type of things. If you're doing something where it's, hey, I just need somebody that can run these tools for us, and you know, maybe we'll talk about that later about that could be done other ways, but if that's the case, well, then you may not need somebody as technical or with certain experience or expertise. You know, how many times do you see in job postings, you know, they're always like, we want you to have experience in either C++, C#, or Java, you know, or one of the three. But do you code in any of this? No, we're, you know, we're a Python and Ruby shop. okay, then why does it say Python, you know, Java and .NET? You know, it's just we've got these standard job descriptions that sit out there and we just post them out there. You know, we're like, hey, maybe somebody will come along and they'll fit the script. And, you know, so it's difficult to nail down and say, hey, that's going to be your perfect candidate. You know, I think for some roles, you're going to find that, hey, the skill sets that I really need here, you know, lie over here. And maybe they're a little bit softer side and they're not as technical. Or, you know, we really want to automate the heck out of everything. I talked to a company. They're big on automation. So they obviously want somebody that has a lot of experience doing development and writing scripts and building that stuff in. You know, it's interesting to me as an industry in security. And I say, I look at a lot of these job postings. And, you know, I just recently saw one. Whereas they're looking for a senior level, basically security consultant, but basically a pen tester, right? We want you to do code review. We want you to do pen testing, all that, you know, senior level. And it says, you know, we're willing to look at developers that are interested in security. I'm like, so you're telling me a senior security consultant may not have any security experience? It seems backwards a little bit to me, you know, mm-hmm. But it's common for what we're seeing, right? We see these things. I want an ethical hacker. I want an application security person that could do manual pen testing, secure code review, policy writing, like all these different things, SDLC, evangelism. And, you know, a lot of people that are good at pen testing may not be good at secure code review, right? If that's even really what you want is secure code review versus I really just want somebody to run a static analysis tool, and we'll call that secure code review, right? It's we have to understand what it is we're doing within our program to be able to find what is actually going to be the right candidate for us. And I think it changes everywhere.
So it's kind of like an inexperience of not really knowing what you want and kind of just throwing spaghetti on the wall.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we do that. You know, we put out there, here's all the things we do in AppSec, right? I mean, you can start listing them out if you want to, right? I mean, we've got static analysis, dynamic analysis. I mean, there's all kinds of tools we can run. We've got DevOps, and you can throw Sec in there if you want and place it wherever you want. I prefer just to call it DevOps. You know, we've got all kinds of pieces, manual code review, manual pen testing, policy writing. There's all these things that we want to do, you know, and a lot of it depends on where are you in your maturity level, right? Are you doing something like BSIM? Or, you know, do you have static analysis already? Are you planning on bringing static analysis in 6 months from now, right? Do you even have a roadmap of where you want to go? And this is stuff that I try to help companies kind of build out, right? Understand your program. Then you can start understanding, what do I need? If you're not going to do manual pen testing for a year, if that's on a year down the road on your roadmap and you outsource and do third-party pen tests right now, and we'd love to have an internal red team, but we're not there yet. That's a year out. And I've worked at companies where it's like that, you know, oh man, we'd love to do manual pen testing, but we're not going to get that for like another year. Okay. Well then don't necessarily focus all your effort on finding somebody that does manual pen testing. Focus your effort on finding somebody that does what you're currently trying to implement or what you have implemented. Maybe you've lost an employee that ran your static analysis and dynamic analysis stuff. Okay, well, if you need to backfill that, then static analysis and dynamic analysis, that experience is going to be way more than somebody with pen testing experience because you're not doing pen testing, right? You've got a year to teach them pen testing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that a lot of organizations, we haven't figured out really yet how to train up and say, hey, mm-hmm. we don't need everything right now. That's what I need. And look, if it's going to take a year before you're going to do manual pen testing, we can get you training to get you up on pen testing, right? I mean, right. That we can do that. I mean, I do talks all the time where I say, in security, we like to say security is super complex. But, you know, there's videos of four-year-olds running SQL injection tools to find SQL injection. You know, there's videos of kids finding this stuff, or people that accidentally find stuff. Yes, there's very difficult stuff to find at times, but a lot of the stuff that we identify out there isn't really that hard to find, right? We're just not looking for it. So we can teach you these skills, but if I don't have to teach them to you yet, let's hold off on trying to find that. You know, I think that drives a lot of our shortage concerns, right? Is it, man, I can't find somebody that does all this. And it's like, but you don't need somebody to do all that. Mm-hmm. Here's really what you need. Can you go find that person and we can get them, you know, to where they need to be? And that may be a college graduate with a computer science degree. It may be, you know, a college graduate with testing experience. It may be somebody that's got, you know, 5 years of security doing AppSec and building programs. But don't just assume you need somebody with 5 years of AppSec building AppSec programs if that's not what you're trying to do. And I think that's, you know, kind of where a lot of the mistakes started coming out of, you know, as I'm thinking, hey, here's some things we really should avoid is, you know, I guess we jump right in, right, to the first one, mm-hmm. not understanding our current needs.
Right.
You know, all too often we're just like, we need AppSec. I need AppSec. Right. It drives me nuts. I see it all the time. New York's trying to pass regulation, right, that says you need a CISO. A CISO will save your day. And it's like, but no, a CISO doesn't save anything. All right. It's somebody having responsibility for security saves something. It doesn't matter what your title is. Somebody having responsibility. Don't just say, hey, we need AppSec. Oh, no, there's so much to AppSec right. that, you know, you're just glancing over that even if you get somebody that is that unicorn that can do manual testing and knows development enough that they can read the code and actually do a good job of source code review and they can use the tools like Fortify and all that, you found that person. What are they going to do when they come in? I mean, is it open-ended? I mean, do you have a plan when they walk in or do they get to write their own plan? How's that going to work? Now that you just found that, you know, very expensive person
right.
to come in, what are they going to do? You know, and probably not going to do any testing, right? Because you got third party to do that. So they want you to focus up like, oh, hey, we don't have any policies. So now they got to start writing policies. And the flip side to you not finding the right person that fits your needs, if the role they come into doesn't fit their needs, they're going to go someplace else, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if you hire in somebody for AppSec and you find somebody that's got a lot of manual pen testing experience and, yeah, they can run a static code and analyzer, right? Sure, yeah, I can run that. No problem, right? I mean, I compile the code. I run it. I get results. I hand them to the developers. They can do that. But what happens when that person really loves manual pen testing and they never do it, right? They're always stuck doing policy or they're stuck doing – you know, other stuff that doesn't do any testing for them, well, they're going to leave, right? Because you didn't understand the role you were trying to fill. They saw, oh, pen testing, it's listed first. Must be like the ingredients for what you cook. You know, it's first one, must right. be the most we do. And then you find out, no, we really don't have time for you to do that stuff. You can do it once in a while, but we don't really have anything around that. What we really need is policy. You know, we just had an audit come in, and here's where we're missing everything. And so just as bad off if you get the wrong person in to fit what you need done, even if they have some of those skill sets, they may not like what they're doing, right? And you see it all the time. People say, hey, there's tons of jobs out there if you want them. Now, of course, half of those require you to travel, so people don't want those. But that's the dilemma that we're stuck with. But it starts with that company understanding, hey, what am I looking to do? What am I doing with my AppSec program? And every company's different, right? You may be in a spot where you already have an AppSec program and you're just looking to increase, right? Scale up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You may not have an AppSec program at all and you're hiring the first AppSec person for your job, right? Now you're looking for possibly two completely different skill sets to mm-hmm. match that. You know, so people have to understand that. Where are we looking to fill this? Because if I don't understand that, the rest of the other mistakes really don't matter because you've already missed the boat of getting through that.
Right. And that actually segues perfectly into your second mistake, which is ignoring existing resources.
Yeah. You know, I talk about this all the time. I presented down at InfoSec World and I presented up at DerbyCon and some other places. You know, and I talk all the time of breaking down our silos, getting, you know, development teams involved, QA teams involved. You know, I talked to one person and I was asking them about their environment, you know, and I was like, you know, how many people do you have on your internal red team? And they had five people on their internal red team, which, I mean, for a lot of companies, that's pretty decent. You know, mm-hmm. five internal red team, that's pretty good.
Yep.
I said, how many people do you have in QA? They have 120 people in QA. I said, so why doesn't QA do security testing? I mean, right. If you lose one person on your red team, you just lost 20% of your testing force. Now, I'm not saying don't have your red team test, and I'm not saying expect your QA team to be manual pen testers. I said, but you can start mentoring them and, you know, use them. They listen, we don't like to say it in security, but we test. We're testers. We are QA. We just put security in front of us, and it makes us different somehow. But we're QA, right? We're making sure the app's quality. So we've got a group that's existed within the organization and most big corporate organizations for decades that knows how to test. They've got testing procedures down. They probably have automation procedures down. Let's start showing them how to do some of this testing, you know, and start off small. It doesn't have to be huge, right? But put a single quote in every field. I know it sounds stupid, but if you start them small by doing something like that, at least you don't have somebody out that accidentally puts a single quote in a field and gets a SQL error. Like, that should never pass your QA. Mm-hmm. It's simple. You can automate it. It's easy. But just put a single quote. I'm not asking you to find all SQL injection. You're not going to find blind SQL injection. But you're getting that low stuff. It's getting it into the process. We're saying, hey, we're doing security. Now, once we start feeling comfortable with that, now let's start putting some other stuff in. Maybe we want to put some cross-site scripting stuff in and see, are we encoding properly? You know, getting these teams involved will help us better understand, right? I mean, so we start off by saying, hey, what do we need to do? Now we start saying, well, what resources do we have? We have developers. We need secure code review. Well, developers know code. Mm-hmm. They should start understanding the security of their language that they're using. I mean, it was funny. I mean, I get it. I did a talk at a developer conference a few months ago here at Jacksonville. And, you know, it was all about how pen testing and being a security consultant, that kind of changed my view of development. And I go back to my early development days back in around 2000 or so. And I said, you know, we didn't do anything to our SQL statements because of SQL injection. We escaped single quotes because it broke the app. You know, I mean, it had nothing to do at that time. I had no inkling of what SQL injection was. I just knew that if I put in O'Malley, I got a SQL error. I had to fix it. Right. And it's kind of funny that way, but that's how a lot of this stuff starts out. Like, I wasn't doing it for security. I was mm-hmm. just doing it because my app would break, right? It was good old QA, you know? And I've worked with developers through the year. I mean, I remember I worked with some that we were doing .NET development, and it was a year after I'd been there. And I remember this one developer comes in, and they were so pumped. They were like, did you know that .NET compiles down into intermediary language? And I mean, I had to take a breath. I'm like, you've been working with this language for a year and you just found that out? You know, and you came from Java, which goes to bytecode. It's the same thing. You know, but so often, right, these languages, they don't require us to know a lot about how they work. We don't have to know the CLR. We don't have to know the CLI. All I know is I drag and drop some things in my UI and I get something, right? And we have to start understanding our languages and knowing that more. And I think that goes for the QA teams, right? So it's understanding those skill sets of what do we currently have? What can they handle? And what's missing from that? So that gets us into our step two, right? Of, hey, what do we have for existing resources? And that kind of shares with the third mistake, which is not sharing that workload. Mm-hmm. You know, all too often we get people that they don't want to share it out. We're like, oh, no, I'm AppSec. I run the scanners. You know, I worked with somebody one time, they used AppScan, and I was like, so do developers get to run that? They're like, oh, no, developers can't run that. I'm like, why not? I mean, you put in a URL, you put in some credentials, you hit go. Right. I mean, it's not so, you were talking about the people that write your business applications that keep your business alive. I'm pretty sure they can handle this, you know, and it's the same thing. It always trips me out when people are like, oh, you know, people, we can't make them log into their router and change their password because, you know, regular users, I mean, it's too complex for them. I don't know if anybody's seen a recent router, but it's a web UI. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't give enough credit there And we just assume people can't do it. And I think we're seeing somewhat of a shift to this, right? I mean, a lot, especially DevOps is pushing this, you know, where we're building things like static analysis into our pipelines, you know, into the continuous integration. We're building dynamic analysis into some of this. So we're starting to see some more of that. But, you know, I tell people, I look at things like static analysis to me is a developer tool. Now, do we still report on that? Yes, from a security perspective, we need to understand risk of our application. So we need to know what type of vulnerabilities exist. We need to know, are we actually fixing according to policy? Maybe you have a policy that says you got 45 days to fix X or 10 days to fix Y. We need to make sure that we're meeting these guidelines and that we're not releasing something that doesn't pass our quality gates. But all in all, that's a dev tool. Let the devs run that if it's possible within your organization. If we're not sharing out that workload, then that doesn't work. And what I like to tell people, you know, look, I mean, you can sit there and say all day long, hey, we're application security. We're in charge of the security of the app. Well, you're not writing the code. You're not in charge of that security, right? I mean, that's if you don't have hands in the code base, you can say anything you want till you're blue in the face. You're not changing that security, right? You can harp on people. You can send up the chain. But it's the devs. It's the QA. They're the ones that are doing it. When we start understanding that and we start feeding that process back into development, you know, we talk SDLC and we have secure SDLC now, right? And all that stuff. I don't like when we put secure in front of things. I'd just rather say, you know what? We have an SDLC and that SDLC includes security checkpoints. If we keep separating it out with secure, then I feel like I'm trying to do something different. Whereas if I just say, look, this is how an SDLC works. And if we go back into the colleges and we go back into the training and tutorials and all that stuff we're building, and we say, this is SDLC, then maybe we'll actually start saying, this is just how the SDLC works. But we start embedding it in, right? It's no longer that bolt on, oh, we don't do SDLC, we do SDL. And it gets way more confusing and complex than it needs to be. And, you know, now your devs are like, well, what are we doing? Are we doing SDLC? Are we doing SDL? What are we, you know, it gets it so confusing, right? So as we start implementing it out there and saying, hey, you know, this stuff right here is really more of a developer thing or a QA thing. And, you know, what can we put there? That's got to make sense. Okay, well, now we started with a roadmap, or not necessarily a roadmap, right? But we understand what we need. We understand our current skill sets. We understand what those current skill sets that in other departments may be able to take off our plate. So it's like, all right, well, I don't have to find a guy for static analysis because static analysis is being handled within the dev teams, right? Or we've got it at DevOps and it's being handled there. I wipe that off, right? So now we basically have kind of what's left. What do we do with that? But then it's understanding what's our role. All right, we know what we need. Are we going to have one person? Are we going to have multiple people? You know, do we just have an AppSec analyst role? There's other roles that we have that have weird acronyms that are atrocious, so I don't use those. But, you know, is an AppSec analyst? What is they're really going to be doing? Because, like I said at the beginning, you might have somebody that really just focuses on vulnerability management. You might have somebody that focuses on threat intelligence. You might have somebody that focuses on code review. I mean, I worked at a company, all we did was code review. I mean, we had a whole huge team. That's all we did. Manual code review. Boring. Okay. We didn't get to run the code. We looked at the code, you know, and required in-depth knowledge of the language of the code you were looking at to be able to know, okay, so in the config file, they set this. So that's going to affect this. So that's not vulnerable, or it is vulnerable, you know, all without ever running it. So, you know, if it's that level, all right, what do I want that role to be? And that's going to go back again to what I said earlier. Okay, the role is as much about finding a good fit for the position, but also for the person that's looking for the job, what am I going to be doing? Because I can tell you a lot of people don't like, we had this conversation too. Oh, well, what we're going to have you do is we want you really to come in and be our Fortify management guy. All you're going to do is manage Fortify. But if your role isn't set out that way and you're not, you know, you don't advertise it that way, you don't understand what your role is, you're going to advertise out, hey, I need a manual pen tester with secure code review experience and XYZ. They're going to come in. You're going to talk a big game. They're going to talk a big game. You're going to hire them, and then they're going to find out all I do is sit here in front of Fortify all day. This is horrible. You know, and so it's no good for either side, right, because it costs a lot of money to hire people. That was a mistake in that hiring, right, because we didn't understand what we wanted the role to be. Do we want the role to be, you know, everything under the sun? Or are you going to be pitching holes? You know, hey, we just want somebody to come in do manual pen testing. You know, from an AppSec side, not a network side. You're just going to come in, test apps. I've seen those, right? Hey, all we know, I just need somebody to come in and test, test, test. That's it. That's all you're going to do. You don't have to deal with developers. You don't have to talk with developers. You get an app. You get credentials. We're going to have a business analyst that's going to manage everything for you. You're just going to get credentials. You're going to test. That's it. That's all we want you to do. And that may be great for somebody. And it sounded like they understood what they wanted. Probably wasn't really going to work out that way. But, you know, that's what they wanted. But that's very different than a role that's going to be writing policies all day. Mm-hmm. Or a role that's going to be doing secure code review all day. Or a role that, you know, I need somebody that is going to be able to get out and talk with the developers and sit with them. And, you know, maybe I don't have a lot of development experience, but I can sit and talk with the developers. And, you know, we have good conversations, right? I'm willing to listen to them. They're listening to me. It's not a one-sided conversation. That's more, but, right, then you're talking good social skills, somebody that can do that. But there's a lot of people that can't. You know, I mean, they come over, they're real snooty. You know, hey, you should be doing static analysis. And I said so, and we're done. And mm-hmm. you know, they walk off, and everybody's like, ugh. And every time that guy comes down the hall, they're like, oh, here comes security. Yeah. What do they got for us today? You know, and one of our hardest things in the security industry is, you know, kind of tearing down that kind of bad name that I feel like any corporation I've been in, people are like, oh, here comes security. You know, and it shouldn't be that way. Mm-hmm. It should be, yep. Hey, here comes the guy from security, you know, and, you know, you're friendly and you're working together. And when I work with a lot of my clients, you know, we'll do tests together and I'll work with them when we do pen tests, you know, and I do a lot of coaching.
And that will do it for part one. Hopefully you learned something. Feedback is welcome at timothy.dblock@gmail.com or on Twitter at timothydblock. Show notes can be found at timothydblock.com/EIS. If you enjoyed the show, share it with others and rate it on iTunes. Have a good one.